strengthen our recall. Bishop, the last time he was here, was talking about how he's given up trying to put together a teaching ahead of time or a sermon. He just yaks, is what he said. But if you'll bear with me, I want to yak for a minute. Not for a whole sermon, but just for a minute. I want to thank everybody so much for all your hard work on behalf of Jim Ramsen's family yesterday. And I thought that went incredibly well, and I know the family was blessed. They said so. Actually, this morning, as I was reading my morning devotions, there was a reading from the book of the Revelation. And chapter 14, verse 13 says this: "Then I heard a voice from heaven say, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them." I couldn't help but think of how appropriate that was for a morning devotion. Also, Amanda had a vision. I wanted to ask her to share that during the service yesterday. I really felt like just the Lord was powerfully present yesterday. And I think again this morning. But do you mind sharing that?
It was during the Hosanna, as we were singing Hosanna, and I just felt, again, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit in an amazing way. And I told Chris, I think part of that is sometimes when we lose one that's close to us, passes over, it almost draws us closer to heaven a little bit, because they're new there, you know, and they're still connected to us. And so it just felt like that to me. But I, as we were singing the Hosanna, I just closed my eyes and I saw James in a white robe, and it was like he had just come in to the big room in heaven where all the saints and the angels are gathered singing praise, just like in O Praise Him this morning. And he had run up to the front because he had come in from the back. And he was clapping and praising, and he turned around and was like motioning everybody to come up front with him. And he said, "I'm just so happy to be here." And it gave me just so much joy, because I was like, I believe that's true. I believe that's what was happening at the time we were singing the Hosanna. And he is happy to be there, because that's where he is. Amen. It was just cool.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes. I would confirm that. When about James yesterday, but I remember when my brother-in-law passed away, and I saw him, my dad, both my grandfathers, and wife, in arm in arm and just smiling and big and take his smile.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And also confirm that too. When there was no sorrow, it's full of all joy. It's kind of one of those feelings. It's like, yeah, he's there. Especially once my grandmother passed, the night before she passed away, the Lord told me home soon she died the very next morning. So.
Well, in the midst of all of this, and just really some really, really, really good stuff. I'm exhausted. I'm really, really tired. The word you brought today, Jackie, you know, we're exhausted. I'm like Moses. Okay, somebody hold my arms. Yeah. Up here. But again, I just want to emphasize how important it is for all of us to spend time just in quiet and allowing the Lord to wash over us and to replenish us and to regenerate us. And this morning, as I was sitting out in the gazebo, was doing the Psalms, and just like the bishop, it was my favorite song. One of my favorite songs. A favorite song. Whatever it is. But anyways, Psalm 25, verse 17, this just jumped out at me, and I stopped my morning devotions and just spent an I guess it was about half hour, 45 minutes in Lectio Divina on this. And that was the troubles of my heart. Oh, this is, that's the NIV. Never mind. Forget that. I'll relieve the troubles of my heart is what it says in the RSV. Relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of my distresses. And what a prayer. And I just made that my prayer this way. Just relieve the troubles. And it, the Lord, as I meditated on that, was relieve the troubles of my heart and bring me out of my distresses. Because they're not his. They're mine. And when I give them to him, they're no longer distresses. And that was the word that I was hearing this morning as I was trying to overcome my exhaustion, as it were. So anyway, well, that's enough of yapping, okay? Let's look at the scriptures. Look at Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Mark 7, 24, and from there he, Jesus, arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and would not have anyone know it. Yet he could not be hid. Jesus has wandered off into Gentile territory. He's trying to get away. He's trying to have some quiet time. He's trying to move away from all of the chaos that he's been going under. You know, every time he's tried to get away before this, like they went across the Sea of Galilee to a lonely place, and what happens? 5,000 people showed up and wanted to eat. So he goes up on the mountain after that, and he sends the disciples across the sea, and what happens? A storm comes up, and he has to walk across the sea to go rescue them. He can't get away. It's all just too much. And so he says, okay, well, let's just go on up to Gentile territory. They may not be able to find me there. Okay. So he goes up, but he could not be hid. He could not be hid. He entered a house. Doesn't say who owns the house. Doesn't say what the house is or where the house is, but it's in Syrophoenicia. And a Gentile woman finds him. Not only did someone find him, but someone who's not even part of the house of Israel finds him. God bless you. A Gentile woman finds him. So there's a couple of things going on here that are instructive for us at this time, okay? Jesus was tired, but he's fully human, so that's not that unusual, okay? In order for him to be able to save us, he has to be fully human as well as fully divine. So you can't just say, well, it was Jesus. He's not going to get tired. Well, yeah. If he doesn't get tired, how's he going to know what it feels like for us if we get tired? It's very important. He's fully human. And he'd been going nonstop for a long time, as I just pointed out. And so he needs to get away. The second thing that's going on right now is that it was a Gentile woman who came to him. And in Matthew's version of this particular story, Matthew says that Jesus says to the woman that he is only sent to the lost of the house of Israel. Okay? He wasn't sent for the Gentiles. And so there is, and when you think about it too, if you're following the daily lectionary, you'll know that we just had Acts chapter 10 a brief time ago, and Peter was all worried about the fact that he was being called to go to the centurion's home. That's a Gentile. Are you going to go into a centurion's house? Oh, wait a minute. You're not even supposed to darken the door, much less do any kind of proselytizing and healing or whatever. No, they're Gentiles. When he went through Samaria, remember the Samaritan woman at the well? Well, Jews don't have any dealings with Samaritans. Huh. But here we are. So Jesus was tired. A Gentile woman comes to him. And what this is saying to us, think about this. Jesus understands our exhaustion. He's been there. He knows what it's like when you try and get away and nothing seems to work that way. And Jesus also, second point, is limitless in his mercy. He's not bound by these strictures. Oh, you're a Gentile. I can't heal you. He does say it's not right to throw the bread to the dogs, but then the woman says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. They can even pick up, the dogs can pick up the crumbs that fall from the children's table. She's showing her mercy. And even more importantly than that, she addresses that response to Jesus with the word, Lord. Lord, even the dogs collect the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Lord. He's not looking at her outside. He's not looking at her heritage. He's looking at her heart. He cannot be hid, but we can hide in him. I loved it in the song you sang this morning, Kaylee. The very first thing, that first verse, it was talking about hiding in the shadow of his wings. Amen. And that goes with one of the words that the Lord gave me. I shared this Wednesday night at the teaching on the gift of exhortation. In Psalm 57, verse 1, it does say, in the shadow of thy wings, I will find refuge until the storms of destruction pass by. What a wonderful thought. And in Psalm 34, verse 8, says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy is the man who finds refuge in him. Refuge, refuge, refuge. Refuge is a place, a safe place. The refuge that we are looking for is the safety of his wing wrapped around us to keep us close. Think about, again, I just want to emphasize, if you aren't doing the daily office, I really encourage you to do it. If you are doing the daily office, I commend you. Keep it up. There's so much that God is saying to us on this daily basis of prayer and meditation and time in the Lord. Okay? So I really, really encourage you for that. But if you're doing Compline, and I hope you are, the last service you say before you go to sleep, one of the things that jumps out at you is keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings. I can't think of a better way to end your day than with the idea that God is going to wrap his wing around you and hold you through the hours of the night. Jesus cannot be hid, but we can hide in the shelter of his presence. All right, well, let's look at those two themes again. Jesus needs some time. He needs some downtime. He needs some time away to rest, recuperate, replenish, renew. Just a time to be alone with the Father. He needs that time. And there is a woman who really, really, really needs his ministry. A woman who needs to have him heal her child. How many of us know? You know, we want to protect our children. We want our children to have what they need. Here's a child who's possessed by a demon. Of course, she wants more than anything to see this child delivered of that demon. But she's not a Jew. The Pharisaical perspective says that she's undeserving of this grace because she's not one of the chosen ones. But Jesus sees that her heart is right with God. Regardless of her heritage, her heart is right with God. And again, she addresses him as Lord, and she humbles herself before him. And he, in his limitless mercy, pours out his grace upon her and says, for this word, your child is healed. He didn't even have to see the child. He didn't even have to touch the child. He just pronounced her healing. This is good news for us because Jesus is never too tired. He's never too busy. He's never too preoccupied to bestow his limitless mercy upon us. And we can never go so far away that we can't turn and call out to him and he can reach us and touch us. We can never get so exhausted that we can't turn to God and say, deliver me, O Lord. And he will hear. He will hear. Times are never so bad that Jesus cannot provide shelter for us in the storms of life. I was reminded as I was praying about this in your last trip to Africa. I believe it's your last trip to Africa. And the bishop didn't make the plane, if I remember correctly. And Bishop Jones didn't make it with the rest of the group as they went to Africa. And he was like 24 hours without sleep. And he finally makes it to Africa. And they're ready to get on the bus and they head to the very first venue. And he's like, I'm really tired. And he's talking to Jesus. Going, Jesus, I'm really tired. And Jesus says, that's okay, I'm not. And you're in me. And I'll carry you. I'll put my wing around you. I'll hold you up. You just need to be in me. You just need to be in me.
And for those reasons, none of us could ever complain about anything.
So, Jesus doesn't look at our exhaustion. He also doesn't look at the outside to see that we're doing all the right things. Jesus is looking at our heart. Jesus is trying to see if our heart is knit to his heart. And when our heart is knit to his heart, there's no exhaustion so great we can't move forward. There is nothing in our past that will keep us bound. There is nothing that we're doing that we cannot discard in him because we are in Christ. And so even when it appears that the tide is turned against us, we can find refuge in him. He cannot be hid, but we can hide in him. And it doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile. And hear this. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican. What? He's looking at your heart, not your voter registration card. He's not mad at you. He understands your frustration with worldly obstacles. He understands your exhaustion, your frustration, your worldly concerns. And we need to get away and we need to get into him. Because Jesus loves us. Jesus has forgiven us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He cannot be hid, but we can hide in him. Amen.